congregation in Pittsburgh. I can't say hi, and it's my pleasure right now. It's not a pleasure, but it is an honor to be able to invite you to come forward now and to share some very personal and certainly some very poignant reflections with those who are gathered here this evening.
Birshut HaRabbanim, with the permission of my rabbis, and I'm glad to say my rabbis, Rabbi Sandler, Rabbi Rosenthal, it's my sad duty to share a few words with you. The first thing I want to say, I'm sure everybody here has been watching television and seeing the reports of the dead, the names, the faces. You've heard, I imagine all of you have heard, the snippets of the biographies of 11 Jews who simply loved their synagogue, felt it was their home, and wanted to worship. Rabbi Sandler introduced me correctly, because I'm not a news anchor, I'm not on the TV, but I'm here to say, whatever you heard about the kindness, decency, gentleness, sweetness, innocence, goodness of the people that were killed, I knew them. And it was 1,000 times more than the TV could even possibly report. Cecil and David Rosenthal, my wife and I used to see them all the time. They were two men, grew up in Squirrel Hill. They had, you may have seen in the reports, genetic condition of mental deficiency. It's a condition called Fragile X, which has to do with the inability of a certain gene on the X chromosome to fully develop. I know a lot about it for personal reasons. For these men, by the way, their parents are very, very elderly. They live in Florida. They entrusted our country to take care of their helpless sons. They were always in the synagogue. They were not able to work. They lived in a group home. A van brought them, but they were always there. And they greeted everybody else. And they made everybody happy. Some of you could picture exactly what I mean. I said to the television, if you put Cecil and David in a room together, the two of them, for a week with a flea, at the end of the week, they would not have even begun to figure out how to harm a flea. But they were murdered in the synagogue that they loved. Rose Malinger, whom I saw all the time, you'll read she was in synagogue all the time. She was in synagogue all the time. I knew her, she was in her mid and late 80s. Now she's 97. You'll understand what I mean when I say I knew her in her 80s, she's in her 90s. She was old, but she was young. She might have been older than anybody here, but trust me, she was younger than anybody here. Always smiling. Just a sweet person who came with her sister, with her daughter who was wounded, with her family. Again, my synagogue was her home, her second home. All she wanted to do was to be there in peace. And then Sylvan and Bernice Simon, one married couple, were both killed. They were married in the Tree of Life Synagogue 60-some years ago. That's amazing. I'm describing people. I knew them. You didn't. But you know them. Because they are the bedrock of what every single community is. They were Jewish people. They are the bedrock of every Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Sikh or any community. Just the best people. Sylvan Simon was, he was 86, his wife was 84, so again, I knew them in their mid-70s, late 70s. Sylvan would come on Shabbat dressed, appropriately dressed for the Sabbath, but for something like a minyan that Rabbi Sandler explained, the weekday morning or evening minyan, he would come sometimes, I picture him, in a sweatsuit. I mean, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I mean, in a sweatsuit. I forget if it was a Pittsburgh Steelers sweatsuit or not. It wasn't the Falcons, but it was. And with a smile. And with a friendly word. And what I remember about Sylvan, a lot of his little jokes were about his wife. What an irony. The kind of thing like, well, oh, fellas, I'll do this. Well, if my wife will let me, but she won't. But don't worry, because she would give it back to him. She gave as good as she got. These people are your neighbors. Maybe they're your family. Maybe they're you. They're me. Gail Solomon, you just told me you were a child at that congregation, a Tree of Life. We Jews, I did the DNA test. I found out we're all related to each other. So these are the people I knew and saw all the time because they were always there. Just taken from us, just meaninglessly, as the rabbi said. I need to say one other thing. Rabbi Sandler invited me to speak. I'm just one of his and Rabbi Rosenthal's congregants. But I'm speaking because I knew, actually five quite well of the deceased, and I told you about them. Others were members of other congregations that had merged since I left Pittsburgh. So I was invited to speak because I knew them. But I knew them because I'm a rabbi. And a rabbi means a leader. And so I hope you will indulge me for a few minutes if I say, where is leadership? Where are our leaders? I came home from the program this afternoon at the temple. There was a memorial. And I got home. By the time I came home, it was almost 4 o'clock. I put on the 4 o'clock news on one of the cable stations. I'm paraphrasing, but the first thing you hear is something like, the blame continues. The blame continues as to who is responsible for the killing in Pittsburgh, as to whether the incendiary language from the White House or some other language or it was someone else. The blame continues. And we see another heaping on of this one blamed that one, except the other one blamed like 8-year-old kids in the playground is the leadership of my country. But this one blamed that one. It's something called whataboutism. We're all learning the word whataboutism. Look what this one did. This is a leader. Oh, but what about the other one said something first? This one insulted. This one figured out how to insult everybody. I'm talking about supposed leadership here, to insult everybody. Oh, but what about what that one said? You know, no, but you didn't understand the context. What about this, my friends, maybe you hear differently from me. This is what I'm hearing from people who are the leaders of the greatest country of the free world. And this is why, part of why, what is happening. Is happening. So I thought of this. There's this phrase that goes around. You've all heard it. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. Well, you know what? This Shabbos, I saw something. I saw the dearest people who lived the most serene of lives. Who were nothing but kindness and gentleness, and some of them more innocent of anything than you could ever imagine. That were my friends, killed in cold blood for some maniacal reason. We saw that. You saw that. I saw that that man had a rifle, an assault rifle, some kind of weapon that maybe a brigadier general or above in the army might need, but that nobody on the street should have. You saw that. Yeah, I saw it. So I'm seeing something. And I'm told if I see something, say something. So I'm saying something. That's what we're supposed to do. Say something. Take away those guns. Take away those rifles. Take away those weapons. Give help to people who are mentally incapable, who don't know right from wrong. But don't give them license to kill. How many guns did that man have? 21? Are there more guns than people, or more people than guns? What is this? The greatest country in the world? If you see something, say something. So I saw. My heart is torn. So I saw. So I say. And because I'm a Jew, because I'm a rabbi, and because we have a long history of doing a lot of things, you, my Jewish people here, some of the history is illustrious, and we are proud, and we like to talk about that. Some of the records we Jews have set have been for very sad, Holocaustic records. So I'm thinking, what happened Saturday, the murder of 11 Jews is said to be the worst mass assault on Jewish people in the history of the United States. And this morning, while I was at the temple in Atlanta, my heart was breaking because Cecil Rosenthal, who could only smile and could only love you, right? That's all he was, Leslie. And David Rosenthal, and a doctor whom I did not know, Jerry Rabinowitz, who took the hand of AIDS patients. They said, put on a glove. He said, I'm not going to put on a glove. I'm going to touch these people and help these people and give them hope. We're buried today in Pittsburgh in that funeral parlor that I used to know so well. So this is the record book for Jewish people. Cecil goes down in the record books. David Rosenthal, helpless young man, is in the record books. 97-year-old Rose Malinger is part of the record books of America. And Sylvan and Bernice Simon, who only loved each other and kidded around together, are in the record books. But Jews don't accept that kind of record book. Because my Torah, our Torah, the rabbi's Torah says, "Uvacharta b'chayim," choose life. Celebrate life. Rabbi Sandler said it. We opened the Torah this Saturday. We say, the life of Sarah. What are you going to read? She died. What does the passage say? The life. My Hebrew name, for those of you who do not know Hebrew, my name is Chaim. My Hebrew name. I got a very proper English name. I actually like it. Stephen. With a PH. But my parents named me Chaim. And Chaim I am known among my people. And it means life. And I celebrate my name. And I celebrate Jewish life. And that's why I'm a rabbi. And so, what I'm finishing with is the 11 people that were murdered, whom I hope you've gotten to know a little better through me. I'm just a little vessel to share some of my heart. They're not only going to go in the record books as part of the worst massacre in Jewish history. They're going to go in the books because of life. because of the celebration of goodness, because of Jewish people survive forever, because those people were so kind, so simply generous, so good, so sweet, so innocent. The whole world has no idea. But we are going to celebrate that. And doing that, that's how we're going to keep alive. And we're going to see something, so we're going to say something, till this country gets it, that we're all going to be sweeter and better and kinder and gentler, and learn how to love each other better, and learn that if someone is different, it's the greatest thing. That's what my religion teaches. You meet someone who's different, it's wonderful. And that's the country, that's the promise this country was founded on. And the leaders, in my opinion, I only speak for myself, they're blaming each other and insulting each other. So this is how we are going to have the last word, because we are going to choose the life of Cecil, the life of David, the life of Bernice and Sylvan Simon, the life of 97-year-old Rose Malinger, the life of the doctor and the dentist and the others that were killed. They were killed? No. Say rather, with Rabbi Sandler and with Rabbi Rosenthal, this is what we are going to celebrate of life. Thank you.